Please be seated. This morning, it's my privilege to introduce to you Rob Parkman, who is with Compassion Canada. It's an opportunity for us to hear about the ministries that Compassion Canada does in the world and to maybe jump on board. They do a lot of things, but one of the most famous thing that they're known for is the child sponsorship thing. I highly endorse the child sponsorship. I have a great story about one of my classmates in college who was sponsored actually through Compassion Canada, who ended up meeting their family, his sponsor family, who ended up being sponsored to go to Bible school, who met the sponsor family's daughter, and they got married, and he is now a pastor in Calgary. It's a beautiful story. His name is Lawrence. I'm not making this up. Lawrence Fernandez. Just a wonderful opportunity to serve the world. Why don't you come up?
Thank you.
And introduce yourself, your organization, and tell us a little bit more.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. What a treat it is to be in Coquitlam. My family and I used to live in Surrey, on the wrong side of the river. I have to say that I'm not sure if we ever came into Coquitlam. I can tell you that we came to Port Coquitlam because of IKEA, but that's pretty close. So, and now we're based in Saskatchewan, and I'm ordained with the Alliance, but my wife and I travel and do ministry around Canada, encouraging churches, and we have a strong partnership with Compassion Canada. And I did want to mention that Pastor Larry sponsors with Compassion, and that's, even though he's on holidays, I know that he's very much behind what I'll be sharing today with you. I have one wife, I have three boys. My boys are aged 19, 17, and 13, and they're all currently available, so if there's any young ladies who want to talk to me after the service, then we can make some kind of arrangements. And they like it when I say that. No, they kind of blush, but anyways, it's always good to have some prospects for good godly wives. And it's a privilege and an honor to be here with you today. And I want to thank Pastor Larry and the leadership of the church for allowing me to come and to share a few moments with you today. I believe that even though we're gathered together for a very short amount of time, that Jesus is very able to accomplish eternal things in these moments. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I don't know if you are aware of how people live in small town Canada, but it's different than the way people live in the Lower Mainland. And sometimes it's harder to find fun things to do, and you have to get more creative. And so I grew up in a small town in Canada, and in our town, people had invented a thing to do on Friday and Saturday nights called doing laps. Does anybody know what doing laps is? We got one person who knows how to do laps. So it's Friday night or Saturday night, you want to impress people. What you do is you get into your car, you roll down your windows, you crank up the music, and you drive around the four main blocks of the town. Around and around and around. And the better you are at doing laps, the more cool you are. And there was a guy in our town whose name was Lonnie. And he had blonde hair and a bushy blonde mustache. And ladies really liked him. He had a 1969 blue Camaro with metallic paint. And he had a nice stereo system in his car. So when Lonnie drove by, everybody went, wow. Goom, goom, goom. And then he'd come by again in 1 minute. Goom, 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 goom. And around and around. Then he'd go to the gas station. And then he'd come around again. And that was the epitome of coolness in our little small town culture. But we realized later on, maybe Lonnie isn't as cool as we thought he was. Because all he's doing is he's just doing laps. He's not going anywhere in his life. He's not doing anything of significance. All he's doing is going around and around. All he's doing is trying to do what everyone around him thinks is the coolest thing to do. And there's nothing in his life that's eternally significant. So today, I want to encourage you, don't just do laps. So turn to your neighbor and smile at them and say, don't just do laps. Don't just do laps. If we really want to have lives that are significant, that matter, we need to be doing things that matter in the eyes of Jesus, not in the eyes of the culture around us. If our culture says having more stuff, being better at things is the way that you impress people, or being able to go on fancier holidays or getting more likes and shares on social media, that is not what really matters. But if we lock our lives into what matters to Jesus, then our lives will matter. Our lives will have significance. We won't be just doing laps. So this morning, let's lean in for a few moments close into the chest of Jesus and hear his heart beating and ask, Jesus, what really matters to you? What should really matter to me in my life so that my life is a life of purpose and significance? So this morning, we're going to look at three different things or groups of people that really matter to Jesus. And the first is the lost. We'll go to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The lost. Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. He came to seek and save people who didn't know God, who had wandered away from God the Father in their rebellion and in their ignorance. Jesus came to seek and save lost people. Did you know that it's politically incorrect to say that someone is lost? It's some people will hear that as an insult, but Jesus says, if you don't know God, if you're not reconciled with God through me, then you're lost. You've lost your way. You're looking for life and fulfillment in all these different places, and everywhere you turn, your heart will end up more empty because that's not where life is. Life is with me. And it is in the heart of Jesus that people from every nation, tribe, language, and tongue would no longer be lost, but they would come home to him. That they would find forgiveness and cleansing, healing, restoration, and purpose in their lives. So if you lean in close to the heart of Jesus, you will hear his heart beating, the lost, the lost, the lost, the lost. And he wants our hearts to be beating for people who are lost. One of our sponsored children is named Francisco, one of our sponsored children with Compassion. And he lives in the Dominican Republic. When we first met Francisco, we asked him, Francisco, he's 8 years old, do you know Jesus? No. His family had no experience with church. An older sibling had gone to church a little bit. And he was just really honest. No, I don't at all. And he hadn't yet been to the Compassion Center. So for the last 2 years, our family has been praying. Our family has been writing him letters. Our family's been encouraging him. And every week when he goes to the center for many hours a week to get taught about Jesus, to get cared for holistically in all the different areas of his life, he has started to warm towards Jesus. And you could see a progression from him going from, no, I don't know Jesus, I'm not really sure what you're asking, to my favorite time at the center is when they teach me the Bible and when they teach me about Jesus. To just a few weeks ago when we saw him again, we were in the Dominican Republic visiting with him and his mom and his tutor, and we asked him, Francisco, are you ready to know Jesus now? And he said, Yes. And so Francisco now is 10 years old, and he's no longer lost. He's been reconciled with the Father through Jesus. Jesus wants us to look at people and say, because you matter to him, you matter to me. Nothing good happens in our life, nothing good happens in the kingdom until people say, because you matter to Jesus, you matter to me. Because you matter to Jesus, you matter to me. And because people were willing to do that in Francisco's life, now he's no longer lost. The next group of people that we want to mention that are close to the heart of Jesus are the least. The least. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. The king will reply, and you know the scenario. It's the end of time. The King of Kings is coming back, and he's sorting out what people's lives were really all about. And he says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you did for the people who didn't have clothes, didn't have water, didn't have food, didn't have people looking out for them in their lives, people who were lonely, who were rejected, who had no hope in their lives. Jesus said, if you showed kindness to that kind of person, I will reward you. They matter to me so much that I'm watching, I'm taking note. Are those kinds of people on my radar? Are they on your radar? The least of these, the people that in our culture, everyone says there's no hope, we shouldn't spend any time on them. He wants us to be the kind of people that say, because you matter to Jesus, you matter to me. So if you were to lean in close to the heart of Jesus today and you wanted to hear his heart beating and you were asking him, Jesus, what really matters to you? I want to know because I want my life to be about that. You would hear his heart beating, the least, the least, the least. There's an amazing story of a man named Everett who was invited during the Korean War to preach to the American troops in Korea. And he goes over there and it's all going well, but he was kind of disturbed about what was happening in that country. There was thousands of children that were orphaned, that were abandoned, that were just living out in the streets trying to survive from day to day. He found out that every day a truck would go out into the streets and workers would come out and they would kick piles of garbage and rags, and some of them they would leave, some of them they would haul away, and he didn't know what was going on. And he found out these are just children under those piles. And the workers come, and if they kick that pile that the children have heaped on top of themselves just to stay warm and try and get through the night, if the child moves, then they leave the child. And if the child doesn't move, then they haul that child away to the dump. And he looked at that and he realized, I'm not okay with that. I'm a follower of Jesus. These children are the least of these. So he gathered some friends together and they started sponsoring those children. That was the start of Compassion International. And from those beginnings of helping a few children just survive and begin to thrive in their lives, now there's about 1.9 million children sponsored around the world through Compassion in 26 countries. But there's another part to the story in Korea. The church in Korea became so strong and started to care for their own people in their own country. Compassion was able to step out of the country and no longer support them. But when they were leaving, the Korean leaders said to Compassion, this is only the first part of the story. There's another part. We've been blessed so that we can be a blessing. So a few years later, Compassion comes back, and there's a big banquet. And there is people there, leaders from all over the country, and the leader of Compassion is speaking, and he wants to reintroduce Compassion to Korea and say, this is what we're all about. And as he's speaking, there's a man over on this side, and he keeps on raising his hand to try and interrupt the speaker. And if you've done any speaking, then what you do is, you know, you just turn over and you talk to these people over here on this side. He's ignoring him. Finally, the guy stands up, and he's waving his arms, and the leader of Compassion stops. He says, okay, what do you have to say? And he says, we want you to know, you don't need to say anything more. We are your children. And the leaders that were gathered in that room, leaders in the church, leaders in the community, leaders in government, were the children that were once just abandoned out on the streets. And one by one, all around the room, another person stands up. I'm a leader in business. I love Jesus. I'm a leader in the church. I lead this denomination. I lead this Christian movement. And all around the room, they're standing up saying, we are your children. But that doesn't happen unless someone says, they matter to Jesus, so they matter to us. Isn't that amazing? The third group of people that we'll look at today that are close to the heart of Jesus are children. And I'll just read one passage, Matthew chapter 18, verse 5. So who's close to the heart of Jesus? The lost, the least, and the littlest. The littlest. Matthew 18, verse 5. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have something about as heavy as this piano tied around their neck and to have them thrown into the Fraser River. This isn't very politically correct language Jesus is using here. Well, he didn't say the Fraser River. He said a millstone and then thrown into the depths of the sea. So if you were to ask the question, what really matters to Jesus, and you search the scripture, this is one place you'd want to go to, and you'd want to realize very quickly that the well-being of children matters to Jesus. They can't take care of themselves. They can't defend themselves. They need someone else to watch out for them. And so Jesus notices them, and he wants people to take care of them. And he says, if you show kindness to a child, it's as though you've shown kindness to me. And if you harm a child, if you lead a child into sin, then look out. I'm taking note of that as well, and I will do something about that. And so if we were to ask today, what other groups of people really matter to Jesus? What do our lives really need to be about? We would have to say the littlest. So if we lean in close to the heart of Jesus, we'd hear his heart beating, the littlest, the littlest, the littlest. Do the littlest matter to us? Do we see their strategic potential in Jesus' eyes? There's another young man that we met when we were visiting Compassion Projects in the Dominican Republic, and his name is Jonathan. And Jonathan now is in his 20s, and he's full of life, and he's a leader in Compassion in the Dominican Republic. We just loved him. And he said to us one day, I'm going to be the president of the Dominican Republic. Now, when people say things like that, what's your reaction usually? Like, honestly, your first thought, I'm going to be the president. Okay, sure. You kid, you know, you grew up in an underprivileged environment, you grew up in poverty. Okay, that's nice that you think that. We didn't say that out loud, but we said we would vote for you, Jonathan. Jonathan told us more of his story. He said that he was a child born out of wedlock. He was a child that wasn't really wanted by his father. And his mom and him struggled so much that every day, in order to have food to eat, they'd have to go out into the streets and sell juice, these little bags of juice. So he'd go out into the street and try and work his 7-year-old salesmanship. Like, do you want to buy some juice? It doesn't have any vitamin A in it, no amoebas. Do you want to buy it? And he just would have to do that in order to eat. His dad was rejecting him. His dad found out that Jonathan had met his family, his actual family. And so his dad came to Jonathan and said, you were a mistake. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. He'd only been seeing him once a year before that, but he was completely rejected by his dad. But he was sponsored with Compassion, and his sponsor was writing him letters. And when that he got that rejection from his father, he went home and he read a letter from his sponsor when he was so devastated. And she said, "Jonathan, today I'm thinking about all the things I'm thankful for, and I want you to know that I'm thankful for you." So that was a lady who had taken what matters to Jesus, a little boy who was in poverty, and she made it matter to her. I want you to know that Jonathan is a force to be reckoned with in his country now. He is running for the Senate in 2020, and he's already started his campaign now, several years before. So he's tracking to be an influence for Christ in their government, in the Dominican Republic. It doesn't happen until someone says, "You matter to Jesus, so you matter to me." That's why we're so excited about the ministry of Compassion, because Compassion is focusing on the lost, the least, and the littlest. And before we watch a video that shows us the impact that sponsorship has on children through Compassion, I'll just share with you briefly the four C's of Compassion, because not all ministries are doing the same thing, and these are the things that make Compassion unique among every other ministry that's working in the world. And I'll cover these quickly, and everyone said, "That's great. He's not going to preach long because the Cantonese service has to start." Here they are. First, Christ-centered. That means that we, with Compassion, we believe that the best way to lead someone out of poverty is, first of all, introduce them to Jesus, because he's the source of all hope. As a result, Compassion is seeing one child come to know Jesus every 4 minutes. That's pretty amazing. Compassion asked the question, does that impact the family members? They found out that yes, it does. On average, another 4 family members also come to know Jesus. So in under 1 minute, there's someone coming to know Jesus through the ministry of Compassion somewhere around the world. Compassion is also child-focused. Child-focused. That means that everything that Compassion does is done to invest individually into the lives of children in all the different areas of their lives. How many of you came to know Jesus before you reached the age of 15? Pop up your hand. Okay, that's, yeah, global averages are between 71 and 85%. The best time to reach and disciple and develop people is when they're kids. Compassion is focusing on kids, and that's a big reason why it has such a big impact. Christ-centered, child-focused, church-based. How many of you know that when foreigners go to a country and see poverty, they often want to do something to help? That's true, right? But more often than not, foreigners come up with the wrong solutions. Foreigners come up with short-term solutions. And so Compassion, in working through local church, is working through a group of people just like you in all these different countries that have a vision for their city, a vision for their neighborhood, a vision for the children in poverty and their neighborhood. They know the culture, they know the language, they visit the homes, they have many hours with these people every day, so they know exactly how to tailor the solutions that they need for their lives. Finally, Compassion is committed to financial integrity. Christ-centered, child-focused, church-based, committed to financial integrity. Sponsoring a child with Compassion costs $41 a month. Compassion works very hard to keep the overhead low and handles every dollar and every cent with integrity. As a result, Compassion has been found to be in the top 1 percentile of charities for financial integrity. So you're not taking a gamble, you're not wondering, you know, when I make this investment into the life of the child, where is this money going? It's all tracked, and they are considered to be at the very top of the pile for financial integrity. So let's look at this video, and let's consider the deep impact that sponsoring a child with compassion can have.
It was lunchtime. We were sitting around a table and we were all holding hands. And my father was praying for the lunch that we were about to eat. But there was only one problem. Our table was empty.
My earliest recollections is finding myself at the age of 5, roaming the streets, eating from dumpsters.
We were not able to have food at all.
We were forced to live with 17 of our other relatives in a very small shanty.
No toilets.
A lot of crime.
No running water.
Rape for children.
If you want to be out of poverty, then you have to deal with drugs.
Some of my friends were actually sold into prostitution.
Kids dying for preventable causes.
And as darkness engulfs the place, the devil takes over.
One morning, I just woke up that, you know, my uncle is just touching me in some parts of my body that I just thought to myself that this can't be happening.
One day, my father was murdered right next to my mother. And I knew that moment that my life had changed.
I watched as my 10-month-old sister died in the laps of my mother out of starvation.
My relatives would always tell me, Michelle, you are so ugly. You will become nothing but a thief and a drug addict when you grow up. And those were the words that I heard from people whom I expected to love and take care of me.
Poverty had told me I am hopeless, I am nothing, and I believed that. But right in the middle of this desperation, it was then that compassion intervened.
One Sunday morning, my Aunt Carol, she's the only Christian person that I know during that time, she woke me up and said that we have to go to this church, and she registered me.
What joy and dancing came to my home at the news that I'd finally got a sponsor.
I received my first letter.
We wrote back and forth.
And he told me, you're my first friend outside my continent.
She said words like, Richmond, I love you.
And that lightened me up.
My sponsor told me, Michelle, you are beautiful. You are precious to us, and we love you. And the words touched the very depth of my heart and soul.
18 years later, here I am, a child rescued from hopelessness by a young person.
My life was changed.
My life was changed.
My life was changed by a teenager who sponsored me.
One teenager changed my life.
She was 15 years old. Her name is Ashley.
Her name was Heather. I called her mom.
My name is Michelle.
My name is Tony.
My name is Jimmy.
My name is Richmond.
And one act saved my life.
And one act
saved my life.
Saved my life.
Will you act?
The choice is yours.
Sponsor a child through compassion today.
Release a child from poverty.
From poverty. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So this morning we want to encourage you to sponsor a child with compassion. There's packs at the back. It just takes a moment to find a child and to fill out that form, but it makes an eternal impact in their life. So we encourage you to do that. Come and meet us at the back. And what I'd like to do as a little bonus is give you, when you sponsor a child today, a copy of a book from a not very famous author, but one day to be famous author. It's me. It's called Refuel, Strengthen Your Soul, Energize Your Mission. And I hope that'll be an encouragement to you. And please come by and see us at the table. There's one in the lobby and then one in the fellowship hall as well. I'd like to close this part of the service by praying for you. Lord, we are all on a journey moving closer to your heart. And we want our lives to be more and more about what matters to you. And so we ask this morning that that would be the case, that you'd help each of us to take a step deeper into your heart, deeper into your purposes. deeper into your plan, deeper into your will for our lives. That the people that matter so close to you and so close to your heart would be close to our hearts as well. Help us in this journey, we pray. Bless the leadership of this church family and guide them and fill them with strength and energy and wisdom to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name.